Welcome back to the Grilling Guys on 107.3 WBBL. My name is Barbecue Bob. I'm in here with Randy Joppy.
Good morning, everybody. It's Saturday morning, and I'm happy that it's sunshiny, and I'm going to get my grill out.
And the West Michigan sports expert, Michael Gray.
I don't resemble that at all.
Oh, come on, dude.
I appreciate it.
Don't be so humble.
No, we're getting
You're
to
not
the...
one when I'm break.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, listen, this show is all about having fun in your backyard. With your grill, with your smoke or whatever, but, you know, I guess we like to sum it up by saying that we're on a mission to make your grilling experience the best it can be, and that's our goal.
You know what? And it isn't easy, but somebody's got to do it. So here we are to help you do it as well.
That's right.
But one of the things you do when you're grilling in your backyard is it's kind of sometimes it's a one-handed deal because one hand is on the grill or the tong, and the other hand's on what? A beer,
ooh,
right? And speaking of that, we're going to jet over to Frankenmuth, and we're going to talk to our buddy Jeff Kuhn from Frankenmuth Brewery, right?
That's right. Hey, Jeff, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Hey, good to talk to you again, my friend.
Likewise, and my left hand is on a beer right now, a nice, cold dunkel.
The last time I had a Frankenmuth was at the Winter Beer Fest.
Yes, that's awesome.
Yes. So what are you brewing right now?
Well, we are today brewing a red, but this month we've been focusing on our Oktoberfest beer because I do a traditional style German Oktoberfest that you brew in March and then consume it during the Oktoberfest celebration in September.
How do you develop the patience for that, Jeff? Because there's no way that if I made a beer in March, it would ever survive till October
or Friday.
There is a method to my madness. If you have enough other beer to take your mind off of it, you'll be okay.
Well, what are you thinking that is different about your Oktoberfest that most of us tend to like in Oktoberfest?
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, it is it's traditionally made to have some nice flavor to it, but not anything that's like out of the ordinary or really wild, you know, from that standpoint. Number two, it's at a alcohol content level where traditionally in Germany, they drink it by the 1 liter Maß mugs. And so it's meant to be consumed a liter at a time. And so you can't have a heavy beer and do that because you'd be bloated after half of it. And three, it's set up as a festival type of beer, so it's festive, and there's, you know, people around, and who doesn't like celebrating and drinking some great beer when you're hanging out with other people, and whether you're eating something off the grill or you're just munching on some munchies.
Well, keep us in mind right around deer camp time, because I think we need to take some of that to deer camp this fall.
I agree.
Because it sounds like you can consume quantities of it, and that when you hang out with Randy at beer camp or deer camp.
No, you had it right the first time. It's beer camp.
Beer camp is my thing.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Jeff, bringing it back a little bit more to the current season, do a little fishing this time of year, and I've been able to catch some salmon and things, but the other day I went to the market and I bought some catfish, and I do a little grilled catfish recipe. It's really simple, but let me tell you what's in it just real quick. It's just got some Hidden Valley Ranch dressing. I use a little cheese, and I actually coat it with some potato chips on the outside, and then just the catfish fillets. So it's a real simple recipe. That'll be up on our website, thegrillingguys.com. But if you were going to serve something like that, what kind of beer would you put with it?
Well, there's a number of different ways that you can go with that. For example, you could use a beer that would complement it. And one of the beers that, you know, complement it, I think, quite well would be something along the styles of like a red ale. I've got a Red Sky ale that does really well with that sort of thing, unless you wanted to kick it up a notch, so to speak, and make a beer that would kind of stand even a little above it. You could move to like an IPA, and there's a lot of great IPAs that are made here in Michigan. Ours, I think, is one of them as well. We do a batch 69 American IPA, and it just works very well. So you can complement it where it just is like goes together like a glove, or you can kind of spice it up with the hop notes on that IPA, and it just makes for a beautiful tasting thing. We do here a walleye, a herb-crusted walleye, and I continually recommend that IPA or the red with that. So You're right up my alley when you start talking about catfish or salmon or walleye or those type of things. It's awesome.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Grilling Guys every single Saturday morning here on 107.3 WBBL FM from 9 until 11, and we're talking to Jeff Kuhn from Frankenmuth Brewery. And Jeff, we've talked about the Oktoberfest. That's the obvious seasonal beer in the Germanic style. Everybody knows that, and I can't use the word Germanic nearly often enough. That helps me sound educated, which I assure you I'm not. But what is the typical spring celebratory beer for in the German culture? What do you guys make that announces the arrival of spring?
Well, a lot of in traditional German circles, they'll do something like a Maibock, which typically will come out in May. And where you have the traditional Bock, which is your, I would call it a winter warmer. The alcohol is up there, 7%-ish, little, between 7 and 8%. And so that's the kind of get you through winter. What I think it is if you're buzzed enough, then it just doesn't matter. You'll forget about winter. Whereas when spring starts coming, we really like to get out. And the Maibock is a lighter version of the Bock. The alcohol level's down lower on that, and it's a real nice, drinking sort of thing. Still has a dark flavor to it, from that standpoint. I've got, what's funny is that I did not do a Maibock this year. I did I did two things. Because of St. Patty's Day, I did a dry stout that we push and carbonated with nitrogen, so it's that real thick, moussey, creamy head. Although it's a very light beer, and boy, does it go down nice and goes great with anything. And then I also did a very traditional German Schwarzbier, which is a German Schwarzbier, is the darkest of the dark. It's a black lager, and it's smooth. It's nice. It's got a lighter body to it, so it's not like heavy, and goes good with whether you're eating beef jerky up in turkey camp, which will be coming up for those who are turkey hunters, or if you're just hanging out with burgers on the grill. It definitely is an awesome drink.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on 107.3 WBBL every Saturday from 9 to 11. We're talking with Jeff, the brewmaster from Frankenmuth Brewery, the oldest brewery in Michigan. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. 1862. Yeah, we really have to get over there and take a little tour, because we sure enjoy your products over there. Well, listen, Jeff, Mr. Kuhn, we appreciate you taking a little time with us. I'm sure you're busier than a one-armed paper hanger, but we always like talking to you because you're such a fun guy.
Well, I love talking to you guys, too, because you mix one of my hobbies, obviously being beer. I call making beer my hobby because I love doing it, and so it's really not like going to work, with one of my passions, which is food. So, I mean, hey, that's a good thing.
Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about some healthy grilling tips that Randy's been all over, because if you ever saw this guy, you'd see that he's a health freak, and he's doing push-ups when I picked him up this morning, as a matter of fact.
Is this karma? We're going to pay off the beer segment with the healthy segment and try to put a polish on it?
Right,
keep
you
out of confessional tomorrow?
I think we're putting lipstick on a pig right now about what we're doing. But anyway, no, on a little more serious note, I don't want to bring us down today, but I've been doing a lot of reading, researching for the show, and one of the issues that came up is that there is an issue out there with regarding to grilling and it having carcinogens that are associated with it, and that's a very serious thing. And so what I did is I started doing a little research on this thing and to see really what it is. And what it amounts to is there's two primary substances that are considered carcinogens that are a byproduct of the grilling process. One's called a heterosilic amine, and the other one's called a polysilic aromatic hydrocarbon. They're abbreviated as HCA and PAH. Now, nothing you need to remember, but basically what it is, they're formed mostly from the fat on meat, either by the fat being heated to extreme temperatures or the smoke being created when the fat hits the burner or the coals. And it's not just the grease and the fat that you're cooking, but it's the buildup on the bottom of the grill. Last week, we talked about making sure that your grill's cleaned up. And, these chemicals are formed by putting food, primarily meats, in contact with intense heat, in direct contact with the heat. Oftentimes, we talk about separating your heat from your meat when you're smoking. So smoked meats, this is really not an issue on, but it's the ones that are right over top of the flame. And those two items, the HCAs and the PAHs, are acknowledged cancer-causing agents. So now, that doesn't mean your grilling's over, all right? But what it is you need to just take caution a little bit and make sure that you're taking care of your food properly. One of the things that is really cool about this is that there's a couple things that almost eliminate this risk. And one of it is marinating your food. Because what a marinade does is it puts a layer between the actual meat and the flame. And it doesn't drip as much. The fats don't come down through and cook off. So that's one of the things that if you use marinades, you almost eliminate this. The other thing is there are some interesting seasonings that negate the carcinogen effect of all of these things. It's basil, mint, rosemary, thyme, oregano, or sage. So, you know, if you like to cook with any of those spices, in addition to marinades, you can almost make this thing grow away. You know, they're herbal antioxidants that reduce the formation of this stuff, and it virtually makes it eliminate your risk. So what can you do, right? Keep your grill clean, okay? Always keep your grill clean. Trim the excess fat off your food. As I mentioned, use the marinades, especially the ones that are based in like olive oils or citrus juices, things like that. They tend to cling to the meat a little more. The citrus juices will caramelize sometimes. The olive oils just sear in the meat. So, you know, avoid your flare-ups. Don't overcook your foods. We're big on that. We do everything medium to medium rare around here. That's the way we prefer it. If you do have to have it well done, try to cook it a little slower off the direct heat. And then again, use the herbs and spices that I mentioned. But almost a little public service announcement there. But I had been reading about this thing. I thought it was important that we dispel the rumors. You know, by no means are you going to walk away from your grill. But if you just keep it clean, use these spices, marinades from time to time, and don't just go over that smoking 1,000-degree heat. You know, Bob, you use those infrared grills that get real hot as well, but they're not directly over flame. That's the beauty of infrared, right?
It could be a great benefit.
Right.
I've never researched what you just laid out there, and that's really good information, because I think a lot of times we hear these health tips and we tend to roll our eyes and go, yeah, whatever, and then you know, like flick a cigar into an ash can or something.
But yeah.
It's probably a great thing to pay attention to, and another great reason to use marinades and rubs. So
yeah, and when you do as much grilling as we do, I mean, I'm on the grill 4 or 5 nights a week, and I'm a big red meat lover. You know, I like my proteins, and so tips like this, just again, cleanliness is a cool thing. Use the spices that I mentioned, some of the marinades, and you shouldn't have anything to worry about, especially if you're only doing it once or twice a week like most of us do.
That's good stuff. Thanks a lot. Coming up next, we're going to talk about some barbecue classes, and there's a whole bunch there to talk about, because I'm telling you, that's the way to go. If you can find a good class, get signed up.
Yeah, and it's not for the light at heart. I mean, this is a four hour class that they're going to teach you about. We're gonna talk a little bit about those classes that are going to be held at Zager's. You listen to 107.3, The Grillin' Guys, every single Saturday morning. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM.